The scripture for the word of God this morning is from Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19 to 23. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19 to 23. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father had sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Amen. Sani bonani, diazabula, okukwazi. It is nice to be here and I'm glad to meet all of you. My name is Shin Kim, and I was ordained in South Korea, Goshen Presbyterian Assembly, and I became missionary since 2 years ago. So I was grown in this country, and I was prepared myself with the language and the culture. Then I went back to Korea to prepare myself with theology and also for missionary training. Then I'm sent back to South Africa. So before me, there was Reverend Chun and Reverend So. Reverend Chun was an assisting lecturer at Rustenburg Mukanyo Distance. Reverend So is now in charge of one local church in Korea as a senior pastor. And thank you, Dr. Brian, for inviting me to share the Word of God this morning. And the title of the sermon for today is "What is Required for Men of God?" From the dialect between Jesus and the disciples, we will find what is required from men of God. I'll be focusing on the students, but I trust that God will speak to each and everyone today through Holy Spirit. What is required for men of God? The first point I would like to make is that we need to hear the Word of God. We are all preachers and we are all going to be preachers. But what does a preacher do? Preacher is like a bridge builder between the congregation and the Word of God. Preachers shall proclaim the Word of God, which the congregation must hear during that particular Sunday. If you just pick any scripture for someone, you are making a mistake. When you prepare a sermon, you need to consider God who speaks the Word, and you need to consider your congregation who is going to hear the Word through the preaching. Preacher is there to connect the word of the congregation with the word of the scripture. So you need to be spiritually sensitive to your congregation as well. What kind of problem do they experiencing? What kind of conflict do they encountering? What are they lacking spiritually? We need to pray for them and we need to identify these issues. If you are familiar with the members of the congregation, then you will be able to be preaching in the context. When you take the context into account, your preaching is going to be hitting the target. So if members are absent on Sunday, or they are sick, or they have a problem, it is a good idea to visit them when you have time and give encouragement with the Word of God and pray for them. I know all of you are studying here and training hard during the week But when you get back to church during the weekend, this is what we have to do. It is our job to take care of the God's flock, and this will build up the congregation better, and it will be also a part of a preparation for our preaching on Sunday. In other hand, we need to hear from God. If we look at verse 19, the last half of it, it says, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. Jesus is saying his word to his disciples, and the disciples hear the word from the Lord. This is a very important moment of teaching to us. Our preaching is a privilege. It is not given to anyone, but to the man of God. We are the messengers of the word, messengers, deliverers from the Master. The intended message from the Master. However, in the broadcast and the medias we watch these days, it hurts me as a pastor. There are so-called pastors who give false gospel and different messages. I have seen sheep pastor who turns half of the congregation into sheep, and the one who tells the members to go outside and take grass, and the one who tells the man to rise from the dead, and the one who talks to God on the cell phone. I was so surprised that these people using the ministry for their own benefits. And I was also surprised at the same time at the people receiving the message as it is, even if it is fake and false. So these men who delivers false gospel and generate fake miracles, they are very concerned, in my opinion. As you can see, South African people are very religious. They used to have indigenous religions from their ancestors. So what message they hear now matters to them very much. Even for those members in your church, they might be matured Christians. Therefore, as we are pastors, preaching cannot be taken lightly, especially in the circumstances we are facing right now. So how do you prepare a sermon? Choosing the scripture and consulting a commentary, it is necessary. However, choosing the scripture is not the first step as a preacher. We need to hear from God first. What message do you want me to preach? Lord, what scripture do we need to choose to preach for this Sunday? We need to pray before we choose any scripture for someone. We need to ask God before we choose scripture. It would be nice if God appears to our dreams and show us what scripture we can preach this Sunday. However, that is not the way God is working. God wants us to communicate through prayer. Not on the cell phone, but prayer. We need to pray to talk to God. Prayer is a bi-directional communication. God hears our prayer and He answers back to us. It is God's grace that we have such a relationship with God. When you pray for someone, God will certainly give you the heart for their sermon and heart for the congregation. And He will give you the scripture in your heart so that you will know. You will have a strong motivation to choose the scripture. You see, the Bible is the language God speaks. So we need to read and know the Bible, the scriptures, the Word of God. We should not only read the Bible at the time of the preparation of the sermon, but we need to read them on a daily basis. Look at verse 20 again. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad when they heard from the Lord. They were glad when they saw the Lord. So this is a reaction of the people with the intimate relation with the Lord. The Word of God and intimate relationship with God is our basis for our ministry. Let me read this scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Amen. There are vessels of gold, silver, and also of wood and clay. God can use any vessel as long as it is clean and it is honorable. We are all called to be used by God. Some are vessels of gold, some are silver, and some are wood or clay. However, we can prepare ourselves better. So when we are useful to God, we can be glorifying His name in our life. God can use us only a little if we are prepared only a little. And God can use us a lot if we are prepared a lot. Some will be used as vessels of gold, but some will be used as silver, wood, or clay. Reading the Bible in our lives are very important, and devotion to the Word of God is also important. But remember to pray to God first before we proceed to read the Bible or proceed to devote. Always let God take the control of our work. In this way, we can reduce our mistakes and wrongdoings before God. Then we can live God-centered life, also please God, and receive help from God in the ministry. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to build ourselves with a solid foundation on the Word of God. We need to receive the Word of God and hear the Word of God first before we go preaching or before we do anything for Him. When we pray, God will help us. So I hope that you find your joy in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. What is required of the man of God? The second point I'd like to make is that we need to believe that peace of the Lord is within us. Look at the last half of verse 19. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." In Greek, it is eirene huimin. In Hebrew, it is shalom. Also, look at verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." He's saying this for a second time. What does it mean that he repeats this word? It means it is important. In Isaiah 9:6, chapter 9 and verse 6, we get many names for Jesus Christ: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He can give us peace. Hallelujah. Amen. If you read verse 19 carefully, the disciples were in a situation where they do not have peace in them. Verse 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. They were in fear of the Jews because Jews were looking for the disciples and the believers to persecute them and seek punishment. In this situation, Jesus is proclaiming, "Peace be with you." And again, "Peace be with you." How is this peace possible? Because He is the Prince of Peace. He can give us peace. Because Jesus is with them, they do not have to worry, but have peace in their life. I see many pastors are living in fear. Some say the security of South Africa is not so good, it's terrible. And some say they need more finance to pay their bills. And some say they don't have finance to build such a building nicely. They don't have a peace in this world, even fellow pastors. Always worrying about security, worrying about money, and worrying about the appearance of the church building. I came to South Africa in 1991. That's when I was 15 years old. Many people ask me, why did you come to South Africa when you are so young? But at the time, I didn't have a choice. Followed my parents. If I compare the crime rate of that time with today's, it's gotten a lot worse now. Some time ago, my car was hijacked once, and I had three armed robbery. But I'm still alive, because my calling from God is not over yet.
Amen.
Yeah, there is some work to do. And in my suburb in Middelburg, there were armed robbery in the shopping mall and few times of ATM bombing and cash in transit heist at the garage where I fill up my car often. I have too many experience of crimes, and most of the time I was the victim. Do you know how it feels like when the four men stand in front of you and point gun at your head? It feels terrible and painful experience. If I was scared of the criminals, and if I was in fear of the crimes, I won't be here in this country any longer. However, because I have a peace in me, and I know God is with me, I'm still here to do my missionary works. It is tough to survive in this country, but we don't need to live in fear. Prince of Peace is with us. Be brave wherever you are, and doing the ministry for God. King of Peace is with you. Amen. Also, we seek for finance for our family and for our church. Trust me, for church building, big, beautiful building does not evangelize people anymore. It used to, but not anymore. Big church buildings are empty in Europe, and they are sold to nightclubs these days. I'm not saying that it is our destiny, but I'm saying that you don't have to be desperate to build big, beautiful building right now. If you have a place of worship for now, we should be grateful for that. And one day when your congregation increases and you need more space and you can afford it financially, you can build your own building at that time. It is not too late to do so. We have three churches in Mozambique. And two of these churches are built with grass and reeds. But I'm teaching them slowly for the members to make commitment, so they are prepared to make a plan for their permanent structure. But their time is coming. If you have a land, we can start to worship God from the ground. If you have a tree, you can start to worship God under the tree. We can start with what we have, and we don't need to rush into properties. God will provide you with things that you need. You need to believe this. If you don't have them right now, we are not prepared to receive these right now. So just trust God on this. And I know there are pastors who want to make money from the ministry. They treat ministry as a business. They charge people for stuff. They sell anointing oil, holy water, and many other things for 200 rand, 300 rand. And it also affects our ministry. They think we are one of them. Yeah, so it is very terrible. They always lie and cheat on people. One day, they will go to hell if they don't repent with true faith. If you want to make money, it is better to look for a job in the world, not becoming a pastor. Look for a job, it is better. theological training for 4 years and 6 years, it is for men of God, not for a businessman. So if your vision is to become rich after graduating this college, you are in the wrong place. But I trust that you are unlike these first prophets, so let's be committed to our God. Finances comes and goes. We should always trust our God and believe that He is providing enough to our family and to our church. Most of the time, our spending habits are problems and our worldly desires are problems. But sometimes God wants to train us very hard, strictly, regarding the finance. So we need to spend correctly, and we need to trust God. And at the same time, we need to do something to improve the situation. We started a crash in Dorong Co-op Church, and we started the farming in Sobolo Church. In our ministry, we are trying something to support our ministry and to make them independent churches. Because the missionaries are not there forever, so one day they need to be independent and self-supported. Don't worry about your finance situation. Pray to God with faith and plant what you have in faith. It will multiply in its time. So do your part and God can do His part. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in this world we are living, it is tough and it is dangerous. We don't know where to get help from in this world. However, we have a Father God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying to us, peace be with you. In any circumstances, in any troubles, we need to confess we have a peace that Jesus Christ is giving us. And as a pastor, show your congregation that you have a peace. If you are looked troubled and if you are always looking for help from people, if your congregation sees that, they think you are not faithful. You are not dependent on God. So be an example and show that God is leading you and God is with you. Amen? Do I still have some time? Okay. Yeah. What is required for men of God? The last point I would like to make is that we need to have Holy Spirit in us. Look at verse 21 and 22. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Amen. These verses contain the Johannine Great Commission. The sent one, which is Jesus, now becomes the sender, commissioning his followers to serve as his messengers and representatives. Trinity God is involved in this commissioning. And when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, how do you understand this? It is best to understand it as a foretaste of what is going to happen at the Pentecost. According to John Calvin, the Spirit was given to the apostles on this occasion in such a manner that they were only sprinkled by His grace, but were not filled with full power. However, it does not mean that the Holy Spirit had no presence in the disciples' lives prior to this point. We are called by the Lord. He sent the disciples and his followers and us to continue the mission of God. However, when we are sent, he did not send us alone. Holy Spirit is with us. God's work cannot be done without Holy Spirit. So if you think Holy Spirit is not with you, not within you, you have a problem. Because when we are born again in Christ, and receive salvation, justification occurs and sanctification begins. So, if it is not Holy Spirit, these things would not happen. So when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and repent our sin and receive salvation, Holy Spirit is with you. Amen?
Amen.
So if you say you don't have a Holy Spirit yet, you are not born again.
Amen.
Yeah. So unbelievers would not have Holy Spirit, but we do. Every believer of Jesus Christ have salvation as well as Holy Spirit. But problem is that many pastors are committing crimes and living a simple life. Even though we have Holy Spirit, we are still exposed to temptations and sins. 100% sanctification is not possible. It's not happening in this world. If it is 100% sanctification, then we should not make any crimes. So 100% sanctification will be possible when we are in heaven, where there is no sin. In this world, we experience ups and downs with the life of sanctification. Someday, we are close to 100%. We feel like to meditate on the Bible, and we feel like to pray and praise the Lord. But someday, we don't even looking at the Bible, we don't pray, we don't praise, and we are even angry and feel depressed. We don't find God someday. So that kind of day is like under 20% of sanctification. So there's ups and downs. So that's why we need to pray to be filled with Holy Spirit and ask God to help us to live a holy life. This is a scripture from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Until we are called to heaven, we need to work out our own salvation with fear and traveling, because we are not 100% sanctified. Living with Holy Spirit does not mean that we are immune to temptations and sins, but we have a power to fight against the sin. When we are exposed to temptations and sins, Holy Spirit is praying for us and wakes our heart to let us know that it is sin. But it is us who decide to commit sins and crimes. And also Holy Spirit protects us and helps us to fight against them. Receiving the Holy Spirit means then that we are saved by Christ and became the children of God. Also, a person with Holy Spirit means we are ready to fight against the sin and ready to work for the kingdom of God. With the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can live a faithful life and we can uphold what God asks us to do. Because of the Holy Spirit, we can call out God our Father. Because of the Holy Spirit, we understand His will when we hear the preaching and when we read the scriptures. However, it is sad to see some pastors give up to be an example of the faithful life. Some pastors commit crimes. Some pastors comes late for the service. Some pastors only comes into the service at the preaching time. Some pastors don't give offering while emphasizing others to give offering. I have seen these pastors from my experience. And some pastors I had to ask to have a rest from the ministry, because he is not prepared for the ministry. Congregation is watching the pastors. They are watching you. Yeah. But we think they don't know what we are doing, but they are watching you. So we need to be an example to them so they can learn from you, and your life can speak to your congregation. Your preaching will miss the target if you don't live a faithful life, and if you don't live according to your preaching. So you should not preach about prayer if you don't pray. And you should not preach about reading the Bible if you don't read the Bible. So don't forget that God speaks through your life. God did not send us alone. We have Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit can help us, help our ministry. Jesus is saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. So we need to trust our Lord, and we need to depend on God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning we heard about we are all sent by our Lord. Therefore, our vision cannot be individual vision. God's vision is our vision, because we are sent from God. Amen. We also heard that in order to become a pastor, in order to become man of God who pleases God, should hear the word of God, have peace in us, and live a faithful life with Holy Spirit. Some say the years they spend at a theological college or seminary is too long. 4 years, 6 years, it is too long. Well, if you retire at 70 years old, investing 4 years and 6 years for theological training is short. Because until 70 years, you have plenty of time to do the ministry. So this time of your life is very important. Some senior pastors I know says that how you behave at the theological college reflects on your ministry. 2 years in diploma, 4 years in BTH are short. It is a minimum training for your ministry life. Even myself, I spent 9 years in theology and 2 years in missionary training. But I'm still hungry for theology and training. So studying and training, it never ends. We need to carry on after graduation as well. It is grace of God that you are all here to prepare to be the man of God. During last May, I went to Pittsburgh to teach basic biblical Greek to fellow local pastors from Pittsburgh and Lesotho, because they did not have access to a theological college like this. So I think it is grace of God for you to be here. And I really appreciate Dr. Brian DeVries and fellow lecturers and staff members who are there to make commitment to run this theological college. May God give you strength, wisdom, and resources to continue the mission of God. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for let us gather to worship you and hear the word of God. We trust that you have called us to be the servants of the Lord. We believe that it is our privilege to serve your ministry. Let our students be well prepared at Mukanyo Theological College so they can become men of God, the vessels of God. Please be with our lecturers and staff members so they can run and serve this beautiful college. Use this college to train church leaders and pastors so that they can go into the world to make a difference and glorify your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.